chapter 16 and verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. In chapter 21 and verse 12 in chapter 21, And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, in that all Sarah hath said unto thee, Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and said, sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat down, sat over against him, and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Let's read it again. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to preach tonight on what I'm calling the unknown watering places of the soul. Abraham's tent has become too narrow. His jealous wife speaks her mind. And this is why we have this story at hand. This accounts for Sarah's altered treatment toward Hagar. Every tender association is torn ruthlessly away. Every bit of security and affection that she knows has now been torn asunder. And this mother and child find themselves forsaken in the wilderness. She finds herself lonely. She finds herself destitute. She finds herself wandering in a wilderness. She finds herself having been cast out. She finds herself bewildered, for now she has been thrown away. Once she had security, once she had a place, amen, to dwell, she had food, she had raiment, she had clothes, she had affection, she had concern. Now she has none of these things. She has nothing. And there in the wilderness, as she sits forlorn, forsaken, and sad, and almost at the very end of her rope, if you will, she looks up and she gives God a brand new name. She looks up and she calls God by a name which he's never been called before. For she said, "Thou God seest me." Wouldn't it be wonderful that through the experience and the trial of your faith that you look heavenward and realize God to be something to you he's never been before? Wouldn't it be wonderful if through this dark trial that you now go, wouldn't it be wonderful if through this testing time that you are now experiencing, if you can look up heavenward with opened eyes and realize that God is something to you now that he's never been to you before. Hallelujah. So it is with Hagar here. She realizes God to be something that he's never been to her before. She's an Egyptian woman. She comes up out of Egypt with Abraham. She knows nothing of God, but through this trial and through this test, she realizes God. Through the trial of her faith and through her being forsaken and cast out, she finds God. She realizes who and what God is and what he desires to do for her. Amen. For you see, I want you to understand that Hagar realizes that Abraham's God is not alone, just Abraham's God. Here in the wilderness, he becomes Hagar's God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there is a time, amen, and for a duration of time, we can somehow get by on the faith of others, the faith of mom and dad. We clutch to dad's coattail. We cling to mom's dress tail, but there comes a time when we must realize that he wants to be our God. He wants to be our very God. And here in the wilderness, Hagar realizes that God is not a local Jehovah. The presence of God is not limited only to the tents of Abraham. And God is not looking just out for Abraham, but God's looking out also for Hagar. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to try to preach to you tonight. Amen. The God that looked out for our forefathers and was concerned about those. Amen. We've rejoiced in their testimony and we've been strengthened by their faith. And we honor and revere those that have gone before us. But may I preach to you tonight. He is not a limited God. He's not a local God. Amen. But the God of Abraham is also the God of Hagar. And if he be the God of Hagar, he also is the God of Chad MacDonald. Amen. He's the God that's concerned about me. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, what wonder and what glad surprise as this anxious, frantic mother, amen, wonders who, amen, will be her deliverer, how, and what she will do. And she looks heavenward. And as she lifts her eyes aloft with glad wonderment and surprise, she exclaims, "Thou God seest me." Amen. She can exclaim, amen, with the psalmist of years later, when there was no eye that pitieth me, thine eye pitieth me. Amen. She can make glad praise with the writer as he said, "When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord shall take me up." When there's no one there that cares, and seems like nobody understands, and there are none that care, thou God seest me. Amen. Thou God seest me. And he knows, and he cares, and he is concerned, for God is a looking our way. Amen. I heard a great woman one time say, talking about trial and turmoil and things, amen, that try our faith. She said, "It seems like
every now and then when we're up against it, that somebody up there looks our way and makes everything okay. Hallelujah. So it is with Hagar. Amen. She comes to the glad realization that God is looking her way. Aren't you glad He's looking our way tonight? Aren't you glad He's concerned about our need? And Jehovah God is concerned about each and every one of us. Amen. Raise your hands and ask God to help me. Amen. Amen. We are the apple of His eye. Amen. And He has His eye upon us. Amen. So then first, amen, there is oversight. Amen. There is, amen, foresight. And there is insight. Praise God. God is watching. And God sees. Let us deal with the latter. Insight. Man looketh on the outward. God looketh upon the heart. And I'm a preaching, thou God seest me. Insight. Man looketh on the outward, that is earthly. God looketh upon the heart, that is eternal. Man looketh on the outward, amen, that is flesh. God looketh upon the heart, that is spiritual. Amen. Man looketh on the outward, that is external. Amen. God, amen, looketh on the heart, that is internal. I want to preach to you that there's a God that understands us, and there's a God that knows about us. Man looketh on the outward, that's human. God looketh on the heart, that is divine. Amen. Hannah goes up to the house of the Lord. Amen. Her lips move. Amen. But her voice is not heard. The man of God supposes, amen, that she is drunk. She's not drunk. Amen. But God knows. Amen. May I preach to you, when nobody else understands and when nobody else cares, there's a God that cares, and there's a God that sees, and He knows my heart. He knows what I'm facing. He knows what I'm going through. He knows the burden I'm bearing. He knows the load I'm carrying. The inside of God that sees the need of my life, and He knows exactly where I'm at. Hallelujah. One is mere observation, human sight. God's sight is penetration that goes in and sees the need of my life. So the psalmist remarks and says, Thou, O Lord, hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings, my uprisings. Thou art acquainted with all of my ways. My. Behold, there is not a thought in my mind, nor a word on my lips, but thou knowest it all together. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. God knows. Once in London at the Wembley exhibit, amen, there a great artist had fashioned a dollhouse of the house of Queen Mary. Every corridor was exposed. Every closet door stood open. The paper hangings on the wall, the pictures, the ornate design, the exquisite lovingness that was portrayed all throughout that house, and the precise craftsmanship of that beautiful home could be seen by the beholder. What was it? Amen. Her home had been opened. Amen. The wall had been taken aside, and the room lifted off, amen, so that the public could see the interior. Amen. When your neighbor looks at you, he sees only the exterior. But when God looks at you, He sees the interior. Men may misunderstand. Men may misread. And men may misconstrue your actions and your feelings. But God never misses it, my friend. He knows where you're at. Amen. They may not understand, but there's a God in heaven that understands. And if if he understands that everything will be okay. Amen. Oh, what a wonder it is when I can realize that in the trial of my life and in the test of my faith, when the thick gets thin and I'm standing at wit's end corner and I don't know what to do, somewhere out there there's a God that's looking my way and he's concerned about me and he knows exactly, I said he knows exactly what I have need of, and he desires to help, and he desires to move and be a present help in the very time of trouble. Amen. It's nothing any good. Amen. When I realize that there's a God that's concerned about me. There's a God that knows my need. Sometimes when we think about God looking upon us, we imagine him peeping through the keyhole. Or if he's, you know, snooping somewhere around the corner, spying on us. Not God. He knows without even looking. He hears without even listening. Something about God, he just knows. Reminds me of George Washington, who said that he had a friend named Lafayette that was captured by the English, and they tried to break his will. Amen. They put him in a dungeon alone. There he stayed for days in solitary confinement, and not having exercise and just bread and water. But the thing that almost destroyed his nerve was that there was a tiny peephole in the door. And seeing a small ray of light at the peephole, he went to the peephole. Oh, but much to his dismay, there as he peered through the peephole, he seen the eye of a soldier. Every 8 hours, the guard was changed. Another soldier appeared 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Every time he went to that door, the eye was watching him. And so it is with the very eyes of God. They never wink, they never close, they never dim. Oh, what a stimulus, amen, it should be to you and I to live right, to live true, to be right, because God is watching us. The inside of God, amen, that sees not only, amen, the works of my hands and the footsteps I trod, but he hears the articulation of my tongue, and he reads the very meditation of my mind. The inside of God that knows me. Amen. The knowingness of God, it permeates like the fragrance of a flower. Amen. It penetrates, amen, like the thrust of a sword. Amen. It pierces like the sunbeams on a cloudless day. The knowingness of God and the sight of God. And I'm a preacher. My God, you see me. You know where I'm at. You know what I'm up against. You know where I am, Lord. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. And isn't it wonderful to know that when you live right and you live true and you keep your hands holy and your heart clean, you're glad God's a looking your way. You're glad he's a looking your way. Hagar is glad the Lord is looking her way. And she says, thou God seest me. May I preach to you tonight? You're in a storm. You're in a trial. You're in a test. God's watching. He's looking your way. The oversight of God. Thou God seest me. Not only is God watching over us, the oversight of God, God's will is best for us. She cannot understand this rejection. She cannot understand having been thrust out. She cannot understand why she has been so rudely treated. while she has been forsaken, her and this child thrown away. Amen. But she learns when she understands that God is looking upon her. She understands that God's will is the best will. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us need to realize that. Amen. We need to come to the wonderful realization that God's will is the best way for us at the time. Amen. We cannot understand it when our dispensations are glad. Amen. When the sun is shining and everything goes well, we believe in providence. And we think that these easy days and these sunny days and cloudless days are born of God and are of God. Amen. But when dark clouds, amen, of turmoil roll in and ominous storms loom directly overhead, do we still believe in the providence of God? The writer said, He knoweth the way that I take. He knows right where I'm at. And the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And I want to preach to you, God's way is the best way. And whatever God wills, be so be it. I just want to be in the will of God. Oftentimes, amen, we wrestle with things. If God loves me, then why does it happen? Why did it have to be that way? God loved me, then why this? And then why that? I remember once a dear sister, a woman of God, that was speaking concerning trials and tests. She was a great encouragement during that service. At the end of the service, she received news that her son had been killed during service. Someone remarked and said, oh, what an awful, awful disappointment. She looked at them and said, drop off the D and apply an H for not a disappointment, but his appointment. Sometimes it's hard for us to realize the appointments of God. It's hard for us to accept that this is what He has ordered. I think it was Lincoln that said, whatever drives us to our knees is good for us. When the bombs were falling on London, amen, someone, amen, hung a sign in front of a church that said, if your knees are locking London, try kneeling on them. Hallelujah. And oftentimes the reason God allows us knocking knees is He wants us to kneel on them. Amen. The wise old saint said, if I had no care, then I should know no prayer. Oh, but that we would know prayer. And in our prayer, we can take our care to God and realize that God understands and God's will is the best way. Spurgeon said, oftentimes, God's love letters come with black edges, but nevertheless, they are His love letters. Sometimes, I cannot understand the love of God. I don't understand what God's saying, but when I look heavenward and I understand that God is looking my way, I realize that God's will is the best way. And whatever that He ordains, then so be it. Amen. Here, she does not have Abraham,
no,
but she does have God.
Woo!
She loses Abraham, but she gains God. It reminds me of Madame Gagnon, who spent most of her life in prison. And she said, I thought on Jesus Christ until every stone in my cell shone like a ruby.
Oh, God.
They put John Spilsbury, from Broomgrove, England, in the Worcester jail because of his faith. He stayed in prison for a long time. When he was finally released, he told his wife and children, well, he said, I would never be afraid of the prison house again. And they asked him why. He said, because the fellowship of my Heavenly Father turned my prison house into a palace. Hagar loses a companion and she gains God. Hallelujah. Amen. J.M. Barry, amen, was the one that told us about a mother who had a little 12-year-old boy. And, amen. Everybody knew the boy would be a preacher. He just had it in him. He was cut out for it. Amen. But at 12, he was struck down and ran over by a wagon. Amen. The mother was devastated, of course. Amen. Here, a boy that was going to be a preacher, she was sure of it, ran over and killed. She went to the Word of God searching for something. And she found this verse here in Genesis 16. Amen. Hagar exalts the name of God and says, thou God seest me. Amen. This sorrowful mourning mother reads that line, thou God seest me. And she closes the Bible and confidently affirms and says, if I can be sure of that, then I can be sure of anything. Hallelujah. I want you to know God understands, and God knows, and God's will is the best way. Look to Him. Look to Him. God knows what He's doing. I said, God knows. Leave it to Him. Amen.
Hallelujah. The test of my character is my conduct in unfavorable conditions. How do I act when the providences of God are not what I expected, and they are not what I asked for, and they are not what I desired? I must still look to God and realize that God has oversight and God's will is best. And the poet said, amid the maddening maze of things and storm-tossed, I've done all I could. To this my spirit clings. I know that God is good. When I've done all I could, to this my spirit clings. I know that God is good. It seems like sometimes when trials and troubles become our lot, something rises up within us and we almost frame those words and say, God ain't good. We want to question if God is still good. Sheldon told us in the 20th door about that widow who had became sick and invalid. She lay on her sick bed. Her oldest boy was tending to the crops. Great big harvest of wheat. Kansas Plain. She calls the children in and says, pray that we'll get the crop. If we get the crop, the oldest boy goes to school, the mortgage will be paid for another year, and we'll be able to stand the winter. And then right after they get through praying, the storm comes and blows all the crop away. And all is lost. And that good, godly mother calls those children back in around her sick bed. I'll never forget it if I live to be 100. She says, gather around, children, and let's see if our good God won't come and help us. Where is the faith that even when things don't go like we want it to, we can still say, good God.
I
He said, gather around, children, and let's see if our good God won't come with us. And he did. Hallelujah. Amen. And he always does. And he always will. He hadn't failed. And he'll not fail. Amen. What you need to realize in your trial, in your test, that God wants to reveal himself to you as you've never seen him before. He wants you to give him a brand new name. He wants you to look heavenward and realize that all the while he's been looking your way, and he's still a good God in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your test, in the midst of your confusion, in the midst of your tragedy. And realize he's a good God. I said he's a good God, and he's a God that understands, and he's a God that knows, and he knows just what you have need of. Give him a praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah. The inside of God, God's watching. The overside of God, God's will is best. The foresight of God, God is working things out for our good. And God opened her eyes.
How about that?
And she saw a well of water. Prayer changes things. And yet how blind and slow we are to taste and see the blessedness that come to those who trust in thee. I want you to understand with me here tonight, the foresight of God is realized herein, that God had already prepared for her a well. She was somehow unaware of the already made provision of God. You see, oftentimes we think that God is slow and God is lagging behind. But here in this wonderful story, it tells us that God goes before Hagar and he prepares for her a well. You see, man is often short-sighted, but not God. Abraham prepares for his mate a bottle of water. God prepares for Hagar a well. Hallelujah. Amen. There are things, amen, that your companion can provide. There are things, amen, that your loved ones can offer, and they will offer solace and assurance for a while. But then their pitcher is going to run out. Amen. And when you've exhausted all of that, amen, just remember somewhere that God has a well. Man gave her a pitcher, but God gave her a well. And they preach to you tonight. There is a well of assurance. There is a well of supply. There is a well. And you can draw from that well. I said you can draw from that supply. You can draw from that supply. God has provided a well. Amen. The foresight of God. While one woman said, she lay on her deathbed about to cross over, having served God for years. And she said, why? I could never do anything but for this. God was always getting ahead of me. Hallelujah. God has got ahead of Hagar, and he goes and prepares for her a well. Aren't you glad when God just gets ahead of us? For we know that all things work together for the good. To them which love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Did you get that? We know. There's a person here. It's me. It's you. We know that all things, we ain't only got a person here, we got a problem here. All these things
work together for the good.
Oh my.
We got a purpose here. And oftentimes, when the people begin to look at the problem, we can't see the purpose. This thing, that thing, it's like a puzzle, the maddening maze of things. But God comes to us and He weaves all of these problems, all of these things, into a lovely canvas. And when it's all said and done, and the master weaver has finished, we look back with glad surprise and say, "Why, ain't that the beautifulest thing you've ever seen in your life?" And oftentimes I can't understand these problems. I can't understand these perplexing moments. But I know that God has a purpose. Amen. Oftentimes my eyes have scales upon them, and I cannot see the good that He's already worked for my good. Have you ever noticed in Luke 24 there is some opened things? There is first and most importantly an opened tomb. An opened tomb. But then if you read, there are also opened eyes. And then there is opened understanding. And then there is lastly opened scriptures. Amen. Some opened things. But the thing that was opened first, very early in the morning, amen, was the open tomb. But the disciples, amen, they were for almost a whole day before they got the word about the thing that was open first. Amen. Oh, there they were behind barred windows and closed doors. And all the while the tomb was already opened. And there they were in fear. Amen. And the tomb was already opened. Amen. But the word, amen, of the angel to the disciples was, "Jesus is risen indeed, and goeth before you into Galilee." Galilee, where Jesus preached, where Jesus healed, amen, where Jesus wrought miracles and ministered to the multitude. That's going to be a hard place to face. It's going to be hard to go back to Galilee without Jesus. But you don't have to go to Galilee without Jesus, because the Lord is risen indeed, and He goeth before you in the Galilee. And that's the way the Lord is. He goes before, amen. He sees, and He knows, and He goes before us, and He's a working things out. I said He's a working things out. He's a working things out for our good. Give Him a praise tonight. God is working things out for us. Some 3 years ago, I was at Locust Grove, Oklahoma. That's just outside of Iron Post. Now you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It hadn't rained in 3 weeks. An old Indian man was sitting there with some rummage goods at an all-day sale. And I was hunting for a book or two. And there that Indian man sitting with his rummage goods, and he'd been so hot and dry. And so to just make conversation, I looked at the elderly gentleman and I said, "Say, you reckon it'll ever rain again?" He looked at me and said, "Well, son, it ain't failed yet." I went back to church that night with a glad assurance. God, you ain't failed yet. Amen. And let me tell you tonight, it may seem like, amen, you're almost ready to throw your hands up. You're at the end of your rope. God, what am I going to do? Let me preach to you. He ain't failed yet. He's got a well somewhere. What we need is just opened eyes and a more clear perception that we may be able to perceive that God has already made a provision, and He's already made the way. If we will
but trust him. God is still watching. He's not going to sell us now. Come on now. I said he's not going to let us down. He's not going to leave us here, but he's going to make a way for us.
The old farmer comes in from the field. Everything's burnt up, dried up, no grass, no feed. He's a mumbling and a grumbling to himself, just down on his luck. And he comes into the kitchen, Sister Collins, and of all things, his wife is a singing. Oh, it just gets all over him. Drought on, no feed, no grass for the corn, and no corn for the cows. And, amen, things is bad. And amen, and of all things, his wife is a singing. And when he hears her singing, he says, "Well, good wife, what are you singing for? Don't you know we've lost the corn and the hay? And now what we'll do for the horse and cow is more than I can say." She sings on, and then Kelly answers and says, "There is a heart, there is a hand. We feel but cannot see. We've always been provided for, and we shall always be." Amen, that's the church. Amen, God's not killed us yet. He's not let us down yet. And God will pull us out this time. He'll make a way, and there'll seem to be no way. He'll put a well in the wilderness. Look up. God's looking down, and he knows right where you're at. And he sees what you're going through, and he's able to give you a well in this service tonight. Stand and let's give him a praise and ask him to move in these altars tonight.
Hallelujah.
Father, give us a song. Hallelujah. Who knows where we're at tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, you preached to me tonight. I'm up against it. I've been facing some things. I've been going through some things. But I assure you now that God sees, God knows, God cares. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your problem, there's a God that knows. There's a God that cares. And if you just look and realize, he's already provided a plan. He's already ordained a way. He knows how to make those things work together for good. You hear that now, you'd say, "Well, right now there are some things that I need to bring before God. Some things I'd like to put before him. I want you to come. Come on right now. I need to find that well in my wilderness, Brother McDonald. I need to tap into that supply that God has provided. I want you to step out. While you are here in this service, listening to this message, the Spirit of God ministered to your spirit. And there's some things that God wants to help you with. Would you come? Just come stand up here. Would you? It's just us. Just a Saturday night service. But God has spoken to some hearts. God wants to minister to some people in this house tonight. Come on. Just come. Come stand up here. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Are there others? I believe God wants to move in this altar service tonight. I believe the Holy Ghost wants to do a work. Are you willing to bring your need before him tonight? Bring your situation. Bring your problem. But they said, "I don't see what purpose. I can't see what good this is." God knows. And God has a plan. God has a purpose. Are there others? Are there others? All over the house. All right, I want us to gather in close. Brothers, just come up behind these that have come for prayer. Let's lay hands on our brothers. Sisters, come and lay hands on our sisters Ask God to move in their life. Come to them in their situation and meet their need. Come on, let's gather in close. Believe God to move. Believe God to assure. Believe God to direct. Believe God to move. Hallelujah.
Jesus.